Wow. Praise God. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, especially with those people who love Him, who worship Him, who pray unto Him. I hope that you are those people. If you're not, you might want to start beginning to pray, because Jesus is coming soon. I don't know about you, but I'm a little confused by the way the world is working these days. It just doesn't seem to be right. Of course, if you don't have the God of righteousness on your side, you wouldn't know what is right anyway, would you? So if you're not seeking the God of righteousness, guess what? You're not going to be right either. But I'm a little perplexed in some things more than others. Perplexed most of the time. But some of the things that, for instance, that seem to transpire that doesn't stay the way it should stay. In other words, I remember not too long ago buying a new car, and it wasn't very long that it was not a new car anymore. It was an old car. It seems like things get old quick, don't they? Oh, this morning, we had a good conversation on our way to a church this morning. Joanne and Leslie, I get the honor of picking them up each Sunday morning and bringing them to church. And we was talking about how quickly it seems that time is passing. Now, I know everybody knows that. That's not anything new that I'm saying. But it seems like the pastor mentioned earlier, that time is coming to an end. The scriptures teaches us that time will be no more. Now, we can't understand that, and we're not supposed to. It's a mystery to God. It's a mystery to us, because it's God's mystery. If it wasn't a mystery to God, then, and if we knew it, if it wasn't a mystery to us, it wouldn't be much of a God, would it? That'd be serving. But you know, my Lord and your Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, He doesn't go for the old. He is always, always making things new. That's what He does. He doesn't come into you to make you old. It's your flesh. It's the sin that makes you feel old. But you should have the joy of the Spirit, which brings youthfulness to us, doesn't it? When I cry out to the Lord and I thank Him, when I'm singing a song like some of the ones we sang today, I am joyful. I am not made old. I'm made new. I'm made new. But many of us today, we have some issues to deal with, don't we? Maybe you don't. Maybe you're here and you don't have any. God bless you. But I was reminded of a passage of Scripture in Isaiah 41, and it's just one verse, so you don't have to turn there, but listen to this. It's a beautiful verse because it reminds us of who we serve. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." Do not fear, for I am with you. Now, that's either a lie or it's the truth. I choose to believe it's the truth, and I hope you do as well. Do not be anxiously looking about you. Isn't that the way we do? We're anxiously looking about us for some answer that we think man has for us, and he does not have any answers for us unless it's Jesus Christ. It's the only answer that has any relevance to our lives. The only thing that anybody could give us is Jesus. But he tells us, do not fear. For I'm with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. In other words, he's saying, don't be looking about you for answers from men, from governments, from science. Look to me, because I'm your God. Now, you may say, well, I know he's my God, but really I don't have much of a relationship with him. Well, that's not his fault. That's yours. If you're still looking at the news 8 or 9 hours a day, if you're still listening to social media and all the garbage and trash that's out there, then you are not putting God first in your life. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. Everything is headed toward destruction. Everything. We don't think it is. We think, oh, we're going to be okay. And everything we have is going to be okay. That's not true. The Lord says everything we have is going to be burned. It'll be gone. It'll be ashes. Or worse. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He's telling us, I will hold you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There is no unrighteousness with our God. It's all right. And he's saying, if you trust me, you believe me, you worship me, you follow me, you have faith in me, I will uphold you. And I'll not only uphold you, I will strengthen you. Now, I'm telling you, my body's not getting any stronger, but my spirit is, and that's where the new comes. My body's growing old. It's kind of wasting away right before me. I've been going and taking some rehab on my knees, and I'm telling you what, they just got me doing things like this. And it's wearing me out. I'm thinking, if I keep that up any longer, I'm not going to be able to walk. My body is disappearing, but my soul is rejoicing. My soul rejoices in the Lord. Now, so much so, I don't even think too much about my body. Still, I get up and look in the mirror. Then I can't help it. It just seems, oh my gosh, how do you get away from that? There's no easy way around that, is there? Nothing easy. Seems like nothing is easy today. You know, the Lord tells us that he's going to make all things new. He's going to make us new. We're not going to be like we were before. We're not going to be the people that we were before we knew Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes into us and we into Jesus, we are new creations. We're not old creations. We're new creations. And listen what he says in Revelation chapter 21. I just wanted to share this with you because it talks about something I think that we need to hear. Revelation chapter 21, I'm going to be, all of it's great, but I'm going to begin in verse 5 or we'll be here all day. And he who sits on the throne, see, there's someone who's sitting on the throne right now, and the throne is an indication that somewhere, somehow, there's a kingdom. Yes. Thrones belong in a kingdom. You just don't put a throne out in the street. It belongs to a kingdom. And when you have a kingdom, you have a king. Jesus, our king, listen to this. He who sits on the throne said, behold. In other words, be amazed. Behold, I am making all things new. Now, we are troubled because sometimes we get old and we feel bad. We get sometimes, I know older people have a tendency, at least when I was younger, I always saw old people as being grouchy and, you know, unmovable and, you know, but that shouldn't be us. But, you know, sometimes I'm a little grouchy. Yeah, my grandchildren come over the other day and they spent 2 or 3 hours and I was right at the cusp. Okay, goodbye. See you next time. Yeah, I love you. I don't want to raise you. But isn't it true? that the Lord is making all things new? And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying there's nothing old. If you're the beginning and the end, he didn't say anything about old. He didn't say there was a new and then the old. He said, I am the beginning and the end. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha, Omega is just the Greek alphabet, the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. The beginning and the end. I will give to you who thirst for the springs of the water of life without cost. There is not much you can get today without having to buy it. Is there? I don't know anything. I used to say to myself, and I never ever thought we'd ever have to buy water, but we do. Bottled water is, that's a big thing. But I remember a time when you didn't have to buy water. And I remember saying one time to my son, I said, you know, if they could, they'd be charging us for the air. And then they come up with the Green New Deal. Guess what? They are charging us for the air. What do you think that tax is? So you can breathe. So you can breathe. But here's Jesus. He's saying, I'm making a kingdom that you never have to be troubled by that anymore. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. In other words, there'll be a relationship between us that'll be so intimate that whatever God does, we'll know immediately. That's what he's talking about. We'll know instantly because we're his son. All we got to do is hold on. Hold on. After church today, we'll have our annual church meeting. And I wrote up a bunch of stuff, you know, talked about this and that and all kinds of stuff. And people love to hear that from me. How long's the report going to be this year, Pastor? Do we need to bring lunch? And I walked off and left it at home. So it's going to be really a short report. Yeah, who's that over there clapping? Don. I might have known it'd be Don DeMears right there clapping. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You're talking about a second death? That's what he's talking about. You'll be sentenced to a second death, but we have passed that. We've been made new. We've been made alive again in Christ Jesus if you have him as your Lord and Savior. And you're not going to have to deal with any of this. He's going to make all things new to us. Not old, but new. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride and the wife of the Lamb. Who do you think that wife is? The church. It's you, it's me, it's all those who believe, all those who are ready to meet Jesus, to sit down at the table of fellowship with our Lord as his precious bride. And what does it say in Scripture about the bride? The bride is to submit to the husband. We don't like to hear that. But it's not about what you like. It is about what's true. Believe me, when you get to heaven, they will be Jesus and then they will be us. And there'll be no partisanship there. No bipartisan either. There'll be none. Jesus is going to be in control. And what he says will go. And we'll submit to that. You know why? Because all he wants is the best for you. All he wants is the best for us. He wants us, he wants the righteousness, his righteousness to be proclaimed upon us, to be given to us in such a way that we become his sons and daughters. That's who we are. We're his wife. That relationship is about nothing more than intimacy. That's what it's about. You will share things with your husband you wouldn't share even with your children, won't you? You'll share things with your wife you wouldn't share with your parents. It's about intimacy. It's about such a relationship that you truly feel that you can trust this husband. As a bride, we'll be able to do that because all things will be made new. All things will be made new. Today, though, we are caught in a kind of a conundrum. Because even though we know these things are going to come to pass, we still are here. We still are wrestling with all the torment, all the trials, all the tribulation. We're still ravaged by sin. And I am telling you, the church is not much better than the world. I hate to tell you that, but it's true. There is not much going on in the church because we spend way too much time on vacation, way too much time fishing, way too much time working, way too much time watching TV, way too much time going out to eat, way too much time driving our cars and going everything. We spend way too much time on social media. We spend way too much time outside the Bible, outside the Word of God. We're anemic. That's what we are. We're not dead. We still have got the living blood in us, but boy, it's hardly traceable. Hardly traceable. So we need to be reminded of what Jesus tells us over here in Matthew, the 5th chapter. His sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. He talked to his people. He's teaching us. That's what God does. He teaches us. He's teaching us now. He's teaching us in these moments together. As we worship him, as we think upon him, he's teaching us. And listen what Jesus says to us. Right here, he's talking about we have this ideology and we have this idea that everything's going to be made new because I'm better than everybody else. But listen what he talks about here in the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 38. You have heard that it said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I don't know how many people say that. They'll say, well, I'm for an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Yeah, you can punch my eye out, I'm going to punch your eye out. You're going to knock my tooth out, I'm knocking yours out too. But I say to you, do not resist. Resist? Do not resist an evil person. Oh my goodness. Now how great, I want you to think about this. How great is a God who says, do not resist an evil person because he is in control. God is in control. He can only say that because he knows. He knows that an evil person can only do so much to you. He knows that. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Turn the other to him. Oh my gosh, that's not the way of not even the church today. I've seen people go to fisticuffs in the church. I have. There was a young man in the church that we was in. He wanted to fight. That's all he wanted to do. He wanted to fight. And he was a so-called youth leader. Excuse me. He was a youth leader, all right. leading them down the paths of unrighteousness. That's what he was doing. But he wanted to fight. He got into a fight with one of our deacons, and he shouldn't have done that, because this deacon was, he was like a rock. And he only picked a fight with him because he was strong and old, and he thought he could whoop him. So out in the church parking lot, he picked a fight with this guy, and he would not fight him. This deacon wouldn't. He come up to him, he pushed him, he cussed him, he slapped him. And he said, "Don't slap me again." He just told him, "Don't slap me again." And he did it because he knew that he'd be going to jail. But you see, right in the midst of people who say they know Jesus Christ, who would convince you in a conversation that they know Jesus Christ, do not know Jesus at all. Jesus, in his humble state, took on the evils of men. That's what he did. He took on your sin, which is the evils of men. He took on the world's sin. And he didn't say a word. He didn't say, "I'm not doing this. I'm not going there. You guys take care of yourselves. Don't bother me. If anyone wants to see you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. I don't sue nobody. I went through a lawsuit one time and they destroyed me. And I said, I'm not doing that no more. They can just have whatever I got. We're settling out of court. Not going into that den of thieves." That was an awful, awful place. Don't want to be there no more. "Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you." People today, they covet so much, they believe that they can't live unless they have a certain amount of this or a certain amount of that. They're not willing to give one thing to one person in need. Of course, the problem is we're always trying to determine what need is. We don't look at a person and see need. We look at people and say, "Well, they just want that. They just want it. And I'm not giving it to them." I wonder what kind of heaven that we'll be in. You think there'll be any poor people there? Think there'll be any hungry? Anybody in prison? Anybody in hospital somewhere? How about you think they'll have maybe a super duper Arlington cemetery up there? Death is just here with us. And if anybody, like these folks we're talking about here, is to have one hope, it's going to be the church. It's you. Maybe you know a neighbor who's been giving you a hard time for a long time, and been 20 years and you haven't talked. Or maybe you have some casual conversation, you know, but if you find out they're sick, you wouldn't take them over a bowl of cereal or anything. What about if you, what about if someone stole something off your front porch, like a package or something? Oh my gosh. And you found them and you saw them. You would try to kill that person over a package. I say, let them have it. If they're bold enough to steal it, then let them have it. Who of us today have not been the recipient of some of these things that we're talking about? Who of us today has thought about getting even tooth for a tooth and eye for an eye? Who of us today have said, "I'm not resisting the devil, I'm going with the devil. I'm going with evil. I'm not resisting it." And how about if someone wants to sue you? All right, I'll sue you right back. As a matter of fact, I'm going to sue you before you have a chance to sue me. We'll see how that goes. Now, how about, have you ever been the one that's forcing someone to go a mile? See, these things talk about what we should do, but we are often the ones perpetrating it. That's who we are. When we read that, we need to think about that. We always think about, oh, I can't believe they'd do that to me. They shouldn't do that to us. We're Christian. We're good people. Jesus is taking good care of us. But we don't see ourselves in those positions. How about if somebody needs a coat or needs to borrow something? Have you been the one that has it and not given it? You know, much of the issues today in this life is really because we don't know the love of God. We just don't. We think we do. I think I do, but I don't. I know something of it. I've experienced some of it, but I don't know the fullness of His love. Listen what He talks about in 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, that is love. How many of you, when you think about love, you think about that? We don't think about, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, we don't mind praying for people we know. People who's going through a difficult time, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying stop praying for people, but I'm saying that our attitude should be such that there is nothing that God presents before us that He can't provide for. Nothing. There's nothing He will not do, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, you're no better than anybody else. We are no better than any other sinner. The only difference is, if we've been saved, not by us being any better, we've been saved by grace. God's grace. His unmerited favor. You didn't earn it. Don't care how good you think you are, how good you think you've been, or how good you think you're going to go or going to be. It does not matter. It does not matter. That's why He says that. It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know why? Because it does not matter. Our God is a righteous God. Our God will take care of His sons and daughters. He'll take care of His bride. He will. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you not have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Gentiles, that's you and me, in case you didn't know that. So He's comparing the Jewish people to us. That's not a good thing. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He's not talking about walking in perfection or being perfect in everything you say and everything you do. He's talking about you are to be complete. That's what He's talking about. That's the perfection, completeness. Be complete in Jesus Christ. If you're not complete in Him today, don't leave here without Him. If you need to go home and do that, you do it. You let me know. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you here. Because we need Jesus. You may think you need everything that's outside these doors. And maybe you do. I don't know. But I never tire of being with God's people. I never tire of it. Now, I may have something else I got to do, but I never tire of being with His people. Wednesday morning, I don't even want to leave. I just want to let's grab a snack and let's get right back to it. Because I love the study of God's Word and I love God's people. We're going to be spending eternity together, like it or not. Too bad if you don't like it. We're spending eternity together. I'm going to be in heaven. I don't know what you've decided to do, but it is a choice that you have to make, and you don't want to wait too late to make it. You don't want to wait too late to make it. The other night we came over, Femi and I, my wife. She's not feeling good today, and so that's why she's not here. We came over, and it was late. It was about 10 o'clock or so, and we pulled up, and there was a guy out here underneath the whatever that is, the tent or whatever. The awning, yeah, the awning. And he was up there. He had his bicycle and had all his stuff spread all over underneath the awning. I go up there, I'd look at him, like, poor fella. He looked like he'd really had a tough time, you know. And I go up there and I say, how you doing? He goes, well, he said, I broke something, and so I have to take it all apart. So he had a piece of cloth out there, and he had all these parts laid out there, which I was saying, I would never be able to put that back together. So don't ask me to help you. But I was reminded right there at that moment, let me pray for you. Maybe, just maybe, God will help you. I believe He did. He's not out there today. Somebody helped him. Because if he was like me, he wasn't going to get it fixed. I'd have still been out there. I'd have still been out there saying, now I think this part went here, and I think this part went here. The point is, how much effort does it take just to stop for a moment, acknowledge somebody, and pray for them? How much effort does that take? How much would it cost you in time? Maybe it will cost you something in money. I don't know. Maybe you're getting paid by the minute. I don't know. Maybe it will cost you something in pride or even humility. Maybe, just maybe though, by doing something like that, you have planted a seed for somebody, and if it lands on the right soil, it's going to produce fruit. You may not see it, but it will. Because that's God's promise to us. When we go into the business meeting, one of the things that I'm always conscious of, you know, being a pastor for a while now, not when I was a kid and stuff, I wasn't conscious of it, but I'm always conscious of that we are not coming this way again. This is it. When you pass today, you head out them doors, or you stay and head out the doors later, you're not coming this way again. This is our time right now. The world needs to hear from the church. We need to quit being weak, because I just read in there, He will give us strength. Even when these old bodies break down, He'll give us strength. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much. Thank You, Lord, that even in the midst of our troubles and in the midst of our sorrows and trials, You are with us. And somehow, Lord, in that suffering, we're drawn closer to You. We tend to maybe see you more clearly. We might even get to the place where we can touch you in some fashion. We might even be close enough that we could smell your aroma. Who knows? We don't know. But Lord, one thing is certain. You love us, and that's what matters. I pray that this people, your people, will not go out of here discouraged, but they'll go out here encouraged, ready to tell others about Jesus, because we cannot change what is. All we can do is what God, the righteous one, has commanded us to do, love him and to love one another. So let us do that, Lord. Not with trepidation, not with fear. There's all through the scriptures tells us, do not be afraid. So let us not be afraid. And whatever comes up against us, because I'm pretty certain there's going to be something coming up. Whatever comes up against us, let us not come apart, but let us come together. Let us come together that we can determine what it is you want of us, what it is you want us to do. Lord, I thank you for each and every one that's here, and I thank you, Lord, for their taking time to come. I know, Lord, that they could have just as easy stayed home, but I'm sure glad they didn't. I hope, Lord, they heard you. You said if the church has ears, let the church hear what the Spirit says to it. So, Lord, I pray that they've heard your voice, not just the voice of a man. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, and we love you. We ask that you be merciful unto us according to thy loving kindness. If there's anyone here, Lord, let them know that they are welcome to come down and bow at your altar. Let them know that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.